must almost be a relief for hockey fans in Minneapolis. Norm Green is moving the Minnesota North Stars to Dallas.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs!
Love in fair territory, and then lands fair. Wow.
So a huge break for the Yankees. Joe Mauer should be at second base.
With the sixth pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Johnny Flynn from
yards left hash. Snap good. Spot down. Wolch's kick is up. And it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Misery Loves Company. I am the host. For the purposes of this show, my name is JP McGillicuddy. And to my right, as always, the man who takes us down memory lane, he chooses the years, and we deep dive, we commiserate, and hopefully he feels better or worse. Either way, I'm fine with it. Mike, how you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing well. We got a big show this
big
week.
Big show.
2009.
Painful show.
It's going to be painful.
Always. the end of our opening, it's like, the season can't end like that. And I'm like, what season? It doesn't really narrow it down.
Paul, they always end like that.
Exactly.
How could it not end like that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're going to do 2009 campaign. Of course, the headline from that year is one Mr. Brett Favre.
Brett Favre?
And we're going to get way into him. So let's get through the the weekly segments we do each and every show, corrections and retractions. I have nothing except for to say it was nice to have Brian. Thank you to Brian for coming out.
Absolutely.
It was a fun show.
Yeah. You know what was fun about that?
What?
He was 13 at that. You know, remember when you were 13 and like sports were everything? So it's so you could tell it was just so vivid and so. You know, etched upon his mind.
Oh, yeah. He knew his stuff.
He knew his stuff, man. And you come back anytime, brother.
Yeah, you tend to remember the painful ones. Same goes with poker. Same goes with women. Same goes, you know.
Yeah,
a painful
that.
Experience will carve a little reference frame in your brain where it's easy to recall. And that hit him hard,
mm-hmm.
Especially at that age. You know, they say, you know, I just heard a thing recently.
What's that?
I don't know. Do you hear that music in
the
background?
I do hear music.
Anyway, little saxophone. No, you tend to, your favorites, when you're coming of age, they say, like, your favorite Saturday Night Live cast will be from that time. Your favorite music, like, or the general genre you're into for the rest of life is that special time when you're going from a kid to an adult. And I heard another thing, like they say you dress how you dressed during the happiest time of your life. You agree with that?
Well,
never been happy. Vikings fan. I'll let you know.
Yes, I'm wearing all black. So you tell me.
Well, yeah. This season did end with a bit of a funeral for one Mr. Favre. He did come back and play in 2010, but it wasn't pretty, right?
No, it was not pretty. But I tell you what, I always loved Favre, even when he was with the Packers. And he is one tough SOB.
You were telling me when the mics were not heated up, actually at the Lookout, shout out Lookout, about an experience you had at Lambeau.
Yeah. It was a couple of years before the season we're going to get into. And I used to go with my ball team, and there were 30, 40 of us. We'd have all kinds of, you know, our ball players, and then in addition to wives, buddies, blah, blah, blah. So mm-hmm. I got to about 40, and I've got so many stories. But this one's, you know, our rule was simple. Do not go to the bathroom by yourself. because you're in all purple and you're in enemy territory.
Behind enemy lines.
Yeah, and I have to say this. The Packer fans, most of them are pretty cool. There are, you know, in every group there's an idiot. And, you know, certainly Vikings fans have their share that I've seen at the Metrodome and at U.S. Bank. But anyway, I'm in the bathroom by myself. I violated the rule. And I hear guys grumbling, and I'm the only guy in purple taking a leak, and I hear, I'll clean it up. You know, purple is a alternative lifestyle color. You can kind of imagine what they were calling me.
Yeah, I think people can connect the dots.
Yeah, exactly.
This was a different time.
Yes, and so I look back with a kind of a snicker, and I go, well, how does it look on me? And they're like, it's going to look better when we give you a beatdown or something to that effect. Yeah. And I'm like, wow. And I said, all right, well, before you give me a beatdown, I will say that you guys have the coolest quarterback. I love Brett Favre. And it kind of silence in the bathroom. They're like, no. And there's some grumbling. It's like, are you serious, man? And I get done. I go wash my hands, which kind of shocked the Packer fans that people actually wash their hands after the bathroom, after done going to the bathroom.
Hey-o.
That was my shot at the cheeseheads. And I said, no, man, I love the guy. I'd love to have a beer with this guy. He just seems like a good old boy. I don't like the fact that he carves us up every year. Anyway, I'm washing my hands. I get out into the hallway. If you've been to Lambeau, you know what I'm talking about. Small, narrow hallway. And there's about five of them out there waiting for me. I'm like, this isn't over. These guys are going to, you know, give me a serious beatdown. And they walk up and they're like, you know what, man? You are one of the coolest Vikings fans we've ever met. And here's a beer. And then here's another beer. And about 45 minutes later.
You were a Packer fan.
I'm like, I got to get back to my seat, man. My buddies are probably wondering if I'm alive.
Yeah, they were probably on a search and rescue mission at that point.
Yes, and we had some awesome seats, by the way. And anyway, long story short, I didn't say that for any self protection purposes.
You actually like the man, or at least the player.
I did. You know, now some things have come out. We'll get into that. But I loved Brett Favre. I did. Yeah. I hated to admit it, but I loved Brett Favre. So kind of a funny story. It went from possible fisticuffs to sharing beers.
Yep.
One Packer fan was super cute.
It's a good lesson, Mike. You can usually talk your way out of these things, and I would suggest our listeners, you know, try to find some common ground, you know.
Hug it out.
Yeah, there's got to be something you agree on.
When in doubt,
hug it out. All right. So that's Mike at Lambeau almost getting a beat down by some meatheads.
Yeah, my ninth year in a row. That was the last year I was there, actually.
All right. Yeah. Back to Brett later. Let's do the anachronism of the week. I use the phrase horse sense. You use that one?
Well, my dad did in the 1800s. No, I'm kidding.
That's the point. Yep.
I'm here all week, folks. No.
And they appreciate that.
To me, using that term would make no horse sense.
Well, it's sound and practical judgment or common sense, especially grounded in experience. And it just comes from the 19th century, as early as 1830s. And it stems from the belief that horses are naturally smart and reliable animals, especially in practical, instinctual ways. Hmm. So, horse sense.
Horse sense.
Let's see here. Oh, it was popularized by Will Rogers. Do you remember that guy?
I remember. Yes. Yeah, Sadly enough, I do remember Will Rogers.
He said, common sense ain't so common and horse sense is even rarer. Yeah. Will also had a saying, I never met a man I didn't like.
I never met a man
I didn't like. That's a famous quote. I heard that, and then I checked it on Google, and it turns out he was saying that. That's where... you know, I don't say that one. It's hard to meet a man I actually do like in this day and age. But yeah. Horse sense. All right. Let's set the scene as we do. 2009, some big events going on in the world. At the top of the list for me is we elected Barack into office, you know, first president of African American descent. I don't know.
Yeah, historic, right?
Yeah.
We had the RNC here in Minnesota the year before.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember who he was going against. My goodness. Anyway, That was very volatile because Minnesota is pretty much a DFL or more slanted liberally in the Twin Cities.
In the cities.
In the city.
Peripherally.
Exactly. So I was running a hotel in downtown Minneapolis, long story short. There were police everywhere, kids arrested. One of my favorite bands, Rage Against the Machine, did a free concert here show their
get some momentum going
against the RNC. Kudos to Barack.
2009 is a tough year economically. That's when they let unchecked capitalism on Wall Street do its thing, and it's quite a hard time. I mean, they were just giving out loans. They were giving out 110%, so you could buy yourself some furniture. And those variable rate interest rates, and then the interest rates, well, they varied to a higher level, and a bunch of people got taken out by that.
They did, and they call that predatory lending, and because of that era, there are now regulations called TRED and RESPA. I don't do anything on the residential side, but you have to learn all this stuff when you get your real estate license.
Okay.
Just all these things are in place now to ensure that that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, it was my welcome to the adult world. I was a bit older when I went to college, and I had graduated from UCLA. Poker was outlawed. There was no longer me for screening on Poker Stars anymore. And to boot, I broke up with it was a sweet year for me. Broke up with probably the only girl I've ever truly loved, and I got to live in my parents' house.
Oh, man.
So it was a good year for me.
Yeah,
sounds no like more it. Poker.
That makes no
economy,
more sense.
Yeah. Economy was shitty. Tara.
Yeah.
God bless her.
I knew
it. Gone.
That's unfortunate, and I'm sorry to hear that.
Tough times make us tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm probably one of the toughest dudes around because of that. Kidding, of course. But Poker Stars, I knew a guy. I worked with him at the casino that went to, Dubai or wherever they went and launched that. Took a leap of faith,
really?
Left the casino, Mystic Lake, did that. And when they, when this whole thing went down, he walked away with quite the package. The founder took care of all of her original people.
They were printing money.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Sure.
We can get into poker another day. There was cheating scandals, and that whole story is interesting.
You know what I love about poker?
What?
You are, you benefit from lying. It's one of the few places in the world, one of the few outlets of the world where you are
proper behavior.
Yeah,
expected.
I played last night. I lied.
And you won. Congratulations. Yes.
Sweet brag. Sweet brag, bro.
Yeah, well, I knew you were going to do it, so I had to do it for you.
Thank you.
Mike's been working on his game, and I'm not going to give too much away, but his table image is one way. And with some encouragement from a couple people, he opposed that table image, and people bought it, apparently.
Yeah, JP is a heck of a player, so he's been kind of coaching me from the side.
Little
I appreciate
bit.
That.
You did it, just a little bit. Little tips where I can.
Yeah.
Swine flu. Little preamble to the real pandemic that took place, 11 years later.
Wow.
That was kind of
swine flu.
Yeah, that was, it didn't cause too much of a stir.
No.
But
wasn't the bird flu, that was the year before, a couple years before.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
What else went on? Oh, Michael Jackson. He croaked. The man was getting recreational propofol, which you use to put people out. Did you know that?
I knew that the doctor went to jail.
What he went to jail for. Yeah. I happened to be going, like I said, 2009, I was finishing up at UCLA, and I was in my apartment, and I heard ghetto birds, as they call them, a bunch of helicopters flying over, and they rushed Mike because I think the closest hospital might have been UCLA, and I was front and center for that one. There was all kinds of people, vigils being held.
Oh, my gosh.
So
talented.
Yeah. Just a weird motherfucker, though. truly.
How do you really feel?
Yeah. Well, find me someone that disagrees.
Yeah, that's peculiar, for sure.
Yeah. That's a different podcast.
Another
but
podcast.
Yeah, his dad was no good to him, and he's been famous since he basically could talk.
Well,
so
Jackson
that,
5
that tends
was,
to fuck with you a little bit.
One of my favorite bands growing up, Jackson 5. Yeah,
they got some catchy numbers. A couple of toe tappers. As the kids say. All right. And then Bitcoin. Bitcoin, I do have a rec for you. If you haven't seen Money Electric on HBO Max, it goes through Bitcoin pretty thoroughly. And what I did not know is the guy who invented Bitcoin, he goes by an alias. It's a Japanese name. I don't recall it. He owns 1 million Bitcoin and no one knows who he is. And if he cashed out, because did you know El Salvador, that's their national currency?
I did not know.
He could flatten their economy if he cashed out.
Wow.
So the doc is pretty much about trying to figure out who this guy is. It's fucking fascinating.
Wow.
Money Electric. I'm saying a lot of naughty words today.
Yeah, yeah.
I have too much coffee. Mm. All right, movies. 2009. Coming in at number 10, The Hangover.
Ah, brilliant.
When America made comedies. We don't really do that anymore.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
Zach Galifianakis is he's an all-timer.
Yeah.
A movie I haven't seen, but based on a very popular fiction novel, Angels and Demons, that was the sequel to the...
Da Vinci Code.
Yes. Thank you.
I have not seen either of those, but yes.
Yeah. Tom Hanks has a horrible accent in there, Boston. Sherlock Holmes, number 8. Robert Downey Jr.
Saw that in the theater with my son.
Jude Law. Twilight Saga. You're a big Twilight guy, right, Mike?
Not at all.
Okay. that was number 7. The rest of the world was. Me neither. I've never seen a single frame of that.
Not my deal.
POS. Up. That's the Disney project.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people like it. I haven't seen it.
That's with Ed Asner and,
Yep. Yep. It says Christopher Plummer was in it as well.
Yep.
2012, John Cusack. Oh, one of my favorites, Amanda Peet. I made out with a girl that looked exactly like Amanda Peet once.
Very fetching young lady.
Yeah. And then she ghosted me. But hey, I was just happy to be there. Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen.
Nope.
Doesn't. See, movies are coming apart at the seams.
Yeah.
Should we go back to the 70s and do the top 10 list again? I mean, my Lord. It's good if you're a kid, though. Ice Age, people like that. Those are always done well.
Yeah.
And then number 2, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Never seen one of those.
Number 1, with a bullet, Big Jim Cameron, back at it again, Avatar.
Avatar.
Another movie I didn't care for.
I haven't seen it, but number 1 all time, right? Box office?
Used to be. I think he broke his own record. It's up there. It's
okay.
Up there.
Yeah.
Music. Let's see what's going on. Remember Kings of Leon? They had that Use Somebody song.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? They were number 10. Jay-Z, The Blueprint 3. I love Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Eminem, Relapse. I like that one. Black Eyed Peas, The End. I like Fergie.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah Montana, the movie. Our Girl Miley, a couple years before.
The soundtrack? She was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Andrea Bocelli. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Christmas album, Bocelli. My Christmas, number 5, Printing Money. Lady Gaga.
Ah.
The Fame. I like Lady Gaga.
I do too.
She's pretty cool. And then, of course, Michael Jackson with number 1 since he croaked. And then Susan Boyle. Do you remember her? I think she was on that, not America's Got Talent, the other one. The other singing contest with Little
Voice?
Peach. Little Peach. What the original one? America's Got Talent. No. Fuck me.
What's her name?
Susan Boyle. It's where Kelly Clarkson came from.
Kelly Clarkson. Is that Lance's?
You know the show
sister?
With Simon Cowell and Randy Jackson. Paula Abdul was on it. American Idol. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Swift, beginning her reign of dominance, came in number 1. She threw 3.2 million records of a record called Fearless. There are your tunes. What do you think?
I think I want to punch myself in the face.
Don't take it out on yourself.
Honestly, I like Black Eyed Peas. I like Eminem, Lady Gaga. Other than that, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's just, again, that's
tough
the beauty.
Times.
Yeah. That's the beauty of music though, right? Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah. I just wish there were some other strokes.
Yeah.
Than those ones.
Nope, I'm with you.
There isn't,
I'm with you.
Besides Jay-Z and Eminem, there's not.
Oh, Jay-Z, yeah.
Too many He's strokes hep. For me.
He's hep.
Mike, I think you have a vendetta against me.
I do.
Because
you know who invented the vendetta?
Italians?
Italians.
And what are you?
I am Italian, 100%.
So you prepared a little quiz for me.
I did.
I got the music queued up.
Okay.
This is on what? Mikey, why don't you introduce it?
Yeah, I'm going to introduce it. I thought it'd be fun since he grills me every week and makes me, so the dozens of listeners know what an idiot I truly am. Now it's well known because of the quizzes he throws at me. I am going to go after JP and his hometown. If you folks did not know, he is from San Clemente, California. So I have five questions, JP.
Fire at will, my friend.
And I'm going to give you, I'll have up to three hints.
Okay.
The first one is a softball. So I'm going to lead with a very easy one for you. Who is the most famous NFL quarterback to come out of San Clemente High School? Uh-oh.
Why doesn't my sound effect work? That's weird. Hold on.
Would you like a hint?
No, I know who it is.
Okay.
It's Todd Blackledge.
Todd Blackledge?
No, Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnell.
Yeah. He was really good. I think he played linebacker. I was a little out of the scene by then, but I certainly had heard about him.
Yeah.
And heard that he was doing well. And I also heard that he's going to my rival, the University of Spoiled Children. Yeah, this just doesn't work.
USC. Okay.
Yeah, USC.
So the three hints would have been drafted third overall in 2018, played for the Jets, Panthers, 49ers, and Vikings, of course.
All right, one for one. Hold on. I want to see if our board works. The skull button works. I don't know why the Jep thing. Oh, I have to hold it.
Oh, here we go.
All right. I didn't need it for that one anyways.
No, you did not. Here's number two. San Clemente was founded in 1920 by former mayor of Seattle. What was his name?
Ole Hansen.
How in the heck? Oh, my gosh. Impressive.
Yeah, well, I went to Ole Hansen Elementary.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's a big deal there.
Well,
and that's why I laughed extra hard, because I think you used some derivation of his name for your casserole shop.
Yeah, Ole's.
It works in Minnesota.
It really does. Ole. There's 1,000 Ole's within this 5-mile radius.
I heard he never said what he really felt.
Oh, okay. I don't get that. But.
Well, we said that he would work for Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All right, number three, San Clemente has a unique climate, often called the San Clemente bubble. What does that mean?
I think it's Mediterranean climate you're speaking of. And the bubble, my guess would be it'd be a weather pattern that has to do with the ocean.
I'm going to give you that one. The answer is
the Mediterranean climate, though, right?
Well, it is. The local hills form a microclimate that makes San Clemente's weather unusually mild and stable.
Okay, so I think what they mean there is like the ocean cools. So much energy goes into heating the ocean. When it's super hot out, the ocean absorbs a lot of that heat and keeps things temperate. And I think there are hills behind, I don't know if any of you have heard of, San Juan Capistrano has the Ortegas. There are more hills than there are mountains, but I see what they mean. They create like an amphitheater of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And
impressive.
Sammy D was the star of the show in the amphitheater at San Clemente High. Go Tritons.
Okay. Wow. I'm impressed. You're 3 for 3. I think Mr. McGillicuddy is still in San Clemente? Your parents?
No.
No. Okay. But I think if they listen, they would... super impressed with your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, San.
They're hard to please. I doubt they're impressed, and they know I think I am a know-it-all. So this should shock them, not at all.
Not at all. That wouldn't make any horse sense. San Clemente is famous for a legendary surf break called the Trestles. How did it get its name?
It's next to some train. It's next to a train. Train Trestles.
Wow, you are 4 for 4. From the railroad trestles, surfers crossed to reach the beach.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little story about trestles. Trestles is a world-famous break. It's a point break, and it's situated on – the beach is situated on government property. That is Camp Pendleton. So you have to make a mini journey from the Carl's Jr. that is about, I don't know, it's probably a mile and a half. You have to walk with your surfboard. if you go to Carl's Jr., you see all kinds of surfers, towel changing, everything. I've heard stories of rattlesnakes biting surfers on their way down to trestles.
Wow.
Of course, they don't have proper – they're barefooted usually.
Well, sure.
The other thing that's interesting about that location is you hear stories from, like, my friends' dads and stuff that would surf over there, and they used to be they wouldn't even let you go out in the ocean. They sort of partitioned it off. You weren't supposed to be on that property, full stop. And they would pull you out of the water and shoot your surfboards right in front of you.
Mm.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
But that's how they used to police that.
Wow.
The military.
Intense.
Yeah.
All right, last one. I'm going to spirit of full disclosure, ChatGPT created these questions for me. And Chat, you are awfully weak because I haven't even had to throw one hint at you. Last one. What U.S. president once owned a seaside estate in San Clemente that became well known as the Western White House?
Herbert Hoover. Just kidding. Dick himself.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
All right.
I'm going to come back in a few weeks.
Five questions. Yeah. First clue, five under.
Five? Exactly.
Better than my golf
score.
Better.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
Thank you, Mike. Well, Thank you for bringing that to the table. It was nice to show everyone. I was truly
knowledgeable. You
know, I was just going to say, like, how much empty calories I have in my brain rattling around, unless you happen to be on a trivia show.
That's impressive, though.
Thanks, Mike.
I grew up in St. Paul. I don't know if I would know a lot of the origin of St. Paul.
Well, if I have time, maybe I'll bring a little something to the table. You're off the hook today. The only question I have for you, quiz-wise, is what were you doing on August 18th, 2009?
If that was the game that a preseason game that Brett Favre,
it has to do with Brett, not a game,
not a game. They were signing him to a contract, and yes, I'm sure I was just enamored beyond belief once I heard it on SportsCenter.
Okay. That's right, Brett Benedict Arnold Lorenzo is his real middle name.
Lorenzo. Wow.
Brett Favre, signed with Green Bay's perspective, the hated Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
What was the sense? Like what was in the, what was the zeitgeist like?
Well, you know that he spent that 1 year with the Jets.
Yes, yep.
Yeah. He wanted to come to Minnesota so desperately, but of course, which makes sense, the Packers refused to trade him to us. So I get that. So he had that 1 year, came out on fire for the Jets, and I think he had some type of pectoral or maybe...
He tore his bicep.
Bicep, that's what it was. Yeah, injury.
How he tore his bicep, we might get to that later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jen Sturger have anything to do? Anyway, so when we signed him, I was ecstatic. Again, I always was a huge fan of Brett Favre. And why not? Of course, the Packer fans were beyond upset. But yes, everyone.
Yeah, I got some clips of some fan reactions. Let's get through just a brief bio of Lorenzo here. Okay. Born in 69, just like my man John Reese, lead singer of Rocket from the Crypt. October 10th, you know, he was from Mississippi. His dad was Irv Favre, his high school football coach. He wasn't that highly recruited. He got recruited as a safety, believe it or not, which makes sense. He's very athletic and, you know, I mean, it's a little waste of that golden arm of his, but he convinced Southern Miss to let him play quarterback, and he did pretty well there. They beat Florida State under his with him at the helm. There were some wins, and he took, you know, he got noticed, and he got drafted by the Atlanta Falcons in the second round, 33 overall.
Jerry Glanville. Pick.
Yep, Jerry Glanville. He was my next quote.
Oh.
He famously said it would take a plane crash to let Brett. Oh, Glanville's been out of the league for a while now. Not exactly a great talent evaluator, I would say, because he was sitting on gold. And I get it. Brett didn't know what too deep. He didn't know. He knew the coverages about as well as I do, from what I understand. It wasn't a big X's and O's guy.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, he could place the ball where he wanted.
Sling the rock.
What
did Jerry say about the plane? It would take a plane crash to win.
Yeah. He ended up throwing four passes. This is so Brett. Four passes for the Falcons. Two were incomplete, two were intercepted.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And he said it would take a plane crash for him to start Favre?
He didn't get the start.
No.
So, yeah, what are you guys getting when you're getting Brett Favre? You're getting a lot. You're not just getting the football player, although we will go through his resume. I forgot this. This is fucking impressive, Brett. Three consecutive NFL MVPs, 95, 96, 97.
Mm. They won a Super Bowl there, too.
96. Mm-hmm. Yep. 11 Pro Bowls. Only three times first team all pro. I wonder who snatched those up. And those were in 95, 96, 97, first team all pro. Second team, another three times. He won offensive player of the year in 95. He's a Hall of Famer. We all know he's an Iron Man. And you can think whatever you want about Brett Favre. But one thing you will not say, because this is objective, he's tough.
Yeah. Very much so.
I mean, that would be probably the first thing I would ask him, like, what was the worst of it? How much pain were you in? Mm-hmm. How'd you do that day?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Iron Man, I think he broke Jim Marshall's, streak for consecutive games.
321, including the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if there's a soundbite of him going, I always love when they say including the playoffs. Of course it's going to be including the playoffs.
I just ran out of time. I wanted to pull some Favre clips. I just sort of ran out of time. I'm sure there's some nice snippets of Brett getting wild at the mic. So what else are you getting? That's the football resume. He later admitted he went to rehab three times in 95 during the 95 NFL season.
Mm-hmm. He was addicted to painkillers, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be frank here. I was a fan of the Brett Favre cocktail there for a little bit, a couple of Vicodin and three beers. That's where you want to live. Don't do it at home, kids. Just saying it does feel good.
Definitely do not do it.
Yeah. Cause this was right before the opiate, epidemic, where practitioners were way too heavy handed with their scripts and just, doling these things out, and they're very addictive. So
yeah.
He got over it, though. Well, that was 95. Yeah, he admitted to taking 15 pain pills a day.
My goodness.
And peak periods, and quitting cold turkey, which he withdrew. He said it was the worst month of his life.
I bet. What year was Something About Mary? What year did that come out? Because he was in that movie. And
just off the top of my head, I would
say... in that heyday, right?
I would say 95.
95.
I can ask my assistant... Let's see here.
He had two lines.
Hey, T, what are we asking again? I already forgot.
What year was Something About Mary?
Something About Mary come out.
Hi, T. She misses me.
All right. Stop. That's my robot. let's see what T has to say.
The only reason I ask while you're looking that up is because he had the best line in the movie when they said, what's Brett Favre doing here?
About Mary. Came out in 1998. Specifically, it was released on July 15th, 1998.
Thanks,
in the
T.
U.S.
Wow.
98.
Remember at the end of the movie when Mary discloses she used to date Brett Favre, and somebody says, what's Brett Favre doing here? And he's like, I'm here to play the Dolphins, you dumbass. I don't know why that just stuck with me.
The line I remember is, I think Stiller goes, what about Brett Favre? Mm-hmm. And she goes, I'm a Niners fan.
Yeah.
All right. Another thing that you got, but it was just simmering under the surface, was the Jen Sturger.
Oh my gosh.
A scandal where Brett was, hounding this woman who's extremely attractive, and she didn't like it. And it came out later during 2010, but there were pictures. He admitted to at least conversating with her and sending her text messages, but he never admitted to sending pictures. And Mike, we spoke off the pod, like, I've seen this picture, and like, I wouldn't admit to that either, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I have not seen the pictures, nor do I care to, but I know he was wearing Crocs and nothing else.
Eeny, weeny, teeny, weeny, shriveled little short.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have a new drop, folks.
that one's called Short Man.
Short
Man. I forgot.
All right.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
But it didn't corrupt the locker room because it didn't come out to the public until 2000.
No, that was Childress's job to corrupt the locker room. But I will say this, if you've not seen Jen Sturger or pictures of her, she was a very fetching young lady who looked eerily like Deanna Favre.
Oh, yeah.
A younger Deanna Favre. And I watched the Netflix documentary, The Downfall of Brett Favre.
Yeah.
She's in it a lot.
Yeah. She says it destroyed her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks, Brett. Anyway, yeah, so that's a little synopsis of Brett, the player you are getting, mm-hmm. the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear what Vikings fans thought of this acquisition.
Crickets?
Hearing the news that Brett Favre is coming to the Vikings, I am thrilled. We're finally going to get a professional quarterback who has the possibility.
You can talk over this. It's like 2 minutes.
To the playoffs.
Did they interview
the
Kermit the Frog?
I think it's the worst.
That's Ollie Hansen.
That I've ever done. I've been rooting against this guy for 19 years, and now I got to be a fan of his. There's no way I'm going to be a Viking fan as long as Favre is in a
Purple
jersey.
Yeah.
I think it's a fitting way for him to end his career. I remember the rivalry going way back since I was a kid. Sitting in outdoor stadium, and so I think it's good. I've always actually detested Favre, but I've grown to respect him over the years.
I think he brings leadership, obviously. You know, he's been around for quite a while. You know, I've cheered against him for years, but what are you going to do now? You know, he's on our side. He's on our team now.
I'd rather lose without him than win with him.
Oh my goodness!
Let's say best case scenario, even if we would make it to the Super Bowl. And
almost
win it, to me that would be tainted, and it would be an asterisk next
to
it.
Oh, you're an idiot. I'm sorry.
The only Super Bowl that the Vikings ever won in my lifetime was with the arch nemesis Brett Favre.
He brings that you're never out of it deal.
It's true.
You do a Hail Mary, you can scramble, you just never know. And perhaps that's what we've been missing, is a little bit of that je ne sais quoi, that little magic that he brings.
I feel that if we're going to win some kind of a championship,
educated Vikings fan,
we shouldn't need a Packer to help us out.
We shouldn't need a Packer.
Phenomenal quarterback.
Said the English professor.
But I don't personally like it.
Really excited about, a 39-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
He's still got a lot to offer. And if he could stay healthy, I think he's going to do real good with the Vikings.
Guy had 300 games
in a row. I'm
just not
happy with the whole.
But if he can stay healthy.
I think that the team needed to get emotionally.
Sorry, I'm a little bitter today.
It was
I think this throws off a lot of the players. And, you know, it's not fair to the other quarterbacks waiting in line to play either. Because he is who he is. He can do whatever he wants.
I think the purple will definitely suit him better than the green and gold. It'll look much better on him.
I think it's the biggest mistake Childress ever made, but that way we at least can.
Childress now getting the blame.
You know, experiment just goes way wrong. He's out of here.
Go Vikings. We'll see what happens, you know. I can't change it, so what's done is done, and we'll see where we go.
So there it is. There's a sampling of the cross-section, a little cross-section of wide-ranging Minnesotans who, maybe not the biggest sports fans in the world, but, you know, it wasn't 100% approval rating. But I will say this, when Favre took the Vikings, took the field for a preseason game just days after signing, the reception was electric.
I was there.
Quote. At the preseason game?
Yeah.
Okay, let me get this quote out, then you
sure.
can talk about that.
No.
Long considered the most dastardly of villains in Minnesota sports, Favre's decision instantly turned him into a quarterback viewed as the state's white knight and the team's key to a Super Bowl run.
Little did we know. Yeah, no, I
was... It was a nice run.
It was a nice run. I certainly wasn't expecting that, but I went to that game only because my attorney couldn't make it, and I just remember having a throbbing headache as I was walking into the Metrodome. It was a Friday night, and when he jumped out on the field, he wasn't out there for more than two series, maybe three tops, and the cameras, it was just lighting up everywhere. I was pretty high up in the Metrodome. I hate the Metrodome. That's why I call it the Metrodome. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was just like, wow. The place was packed. You don't see that kind of enthusiasm in a preseason, especially like the third. I don't remember what preseason game it was, but it was like, holy cow. Little did I know what was to come in the 2009 season.
Yeah, I mean, you know who didn't like that signing was Tavarius Jackson.
Well, Tavarius should not have been in the NFL. I blame that on Childress.
Well, yeah, you and the guy from the clip, you blame Childress for bringing in Favre.
Oh, it just did
and
not
they
like
did not like each other. I'm sure he was excited about it. He's one of these old guy, hot girlfriend guys, too, that I...
Childress?
Wasn't it him?
No, you're thinking of Mike. I'm thinking of Zimmer. Childress. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what was his motivation for coming on over to the Vikes? Like, there's a lot of speculation that we'll use that Italian word again.
Vendetta.
He had a vendetta against Green Bay.
He did.
I mean, it had something to do with his decision. Can we speculate and say that with a reasonable assurance that he was petty?
Oh, very much so. And there was an interview at some point saying, yeah, with his Southern accent, I did want to stick it to the Packers, you know, because the way he was treated and then Aaron Rodgers kind of being his heir apparent. And the irony is, look what happened to Aaron Rodgers a couple of years ago.
And same shit. That's the time is a flat circle. Just repeats, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers feels like he's actively trying to, I mean, Green Bay – younger quarterback, out of Green Bay. Jets, not good. Pittsburgh, we'll see.
We'll see.
But it's just strikingly similar to Brett's path.
Very much so. And you want to talk about the irony of, you know, I'm sure even Aaron, because, you know, he's got a little arrogance to him.
A little bit.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Going, why me? Why? Well, think about it, dude. You know, go back 20 years, because you did the same thing to Brett Favre. Anyway.
I think Aaron was a little nicer, to be fair, to Love. Because, you know, Brett wasn't that nice to Aaron Rodgers.
No, he was not. I know you heard about him stealing his helmet and everybody signing autographs.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, and then they put it in his locker. And Aaron could have been a, you know, rookies get hazed or young players get hazed. He could have been a better player or better teammate. You know, I would have laughed if somebody did that to me in my helmet.
Yeah.
Humor. But anyway, let's get back to Brett.
Okay, Brett. Well, that was the Vikings fans' reaction. I have a plan. I'm going to play another 2-minute clip with the Packer fans' reactions, and then I'm going to use the restroom.
They can form full sentences?
You better watch out. This is a nationwide podcast. Oh. You're going to have a pack of cheeseheads.
Oh, boy. Not that. Anything but that.
You say I'm terrified. All right, here's the Packer fan reaction. Let's just get that going, and I'm going to adjourn for a second.
I'll steer the ship.
Let's face it. If you're any kind of Packer fan, seeing Favre in a purple jersey playing against the Packers was weird.
I didn't want to say, you know, what if.
But it's been almost 2 months since Favre did the unthinkable, landing in Minnesota and then showing off his brand new jersey. Time heals all wounds, right?
No.
Turns out fans are still pretty miffed about what Brett did, but have they forgiven him?
No, I haven't forgiven Brett Favre. I made amends when he went to the Jets. That was fine with me. Now he's coming back to the Vikings in the division. Now he's a threat.
Absolutely not a priority of mine.
So have you forgiven him?
Not really, no. I still have a soft spot for him, but I haven't forgiven him yet.
You're not taking him back?
No.
He's like the cheating boyfriend, huh?
Kind of in a way. I have 3 Favre jerseys at home that I probably never wear again.
Oh,
Stephanie's not alone with her wardrobe issues.
This is what I think of you.
A quick search on YouTube shows lots of fans burning their Favre jerseys in disgust.
This is the last straw. Okay. He's playing for the Vikings, though.
I think it's safe to say these guys aren't ready to forgive and forget. But we did find one Wisconsin man who was happy to offer his forgiveness. Now, I'm going to ask you a question I think I already know the answer to.
Oh, yeah.
Have you forgiven Brett Favre for what he's done?
Oh, I've forgiven him quite a bit, yeah.
Jeremy Vetterkind is a Vikings fan living in Wisconsin, and he's showing off some wishful thinking. Aaron Rodgers, a Viking? Well, let's try to get over Favre first.
Spent 16 years with us. We lived for him. We loved him. And now he's It's like he turned his back to us.
Aaron Rodgers of Viking. That jersey caught me off guard a little bit. Now, not everyone is holding a grudge here.
Except Eric.
Heard from a few fans today who said it is time to move on. Favre acted like a class act in last night's game, and they're just looking forward to a successful season with Aaron Rodgers. But there are still others who just are really, really upset that he is now playing for such a big rival.
About 25 days, 19 hours.
I left this
hours.
In for specific
until
reason. Listen up.
Now, that'll be a real test, I think.
I didn't like Donald Driver hugging him at the end. Everybody's like,
what's the matter with you?
Oh, my goodness. Come on. Just a game.
In real time on that news broadcast in Green Bay, the lady just goes, what's wrong with you? And I left that in because people get emotional about their sports.
Yeah, and I do too. And you know, but at the end of the day, it is just entertainment, right? I mean, are you not entertained?
Yeah.
Yep. I was looking at the score of that game. It must have been the day after the Vikes beat the Packers 30-23 at the Metrodome. So I'm guessing based on those bites, sound bites, that was the day after.
I didn't catch the date on that.
But, yeah, that would be my guess funny. Because, you know.
Yeah, when he came back at week 8 of 2009, the reception was icy, to put it one way. There were a lot of boos, and someone hired a plane, and they towed a banner that said retire for good, which whoever did that, I give them a lot of credit. That's pretty funny.
They have a lot of money and more time in their hands than I remember seeing, like, you know, everybody has their little posters and their little banners that they bring. And one of them said, Judas betrayed Jesus. So they're it's like, really?
It's almost the same thing.
My goodness.
Fucking sports, people.
My gosh.
Get a grip. Yeah.
They're calling him Judas.
Pontius Pilate over there.
And we won 38-26.
I found some stuff. They were like burning effigies of him, you know, like, dummies with, you know, like with
they showed it.
Yeah.
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 Showed it on the news and interesting.
It was seen as an act of betrayal. You know what? They weren't entirely wrong. I mean, it's not like he didn't, as we just mentioned, it's not like he didn't sign to the Vikings to put it to Green Bay. The front office mostly, Aaron Rodgers a little bit. And you know what? If the fans got hit with collateral damage, then fucking who cares? And that's who Brett is.
Yeah.
There's other things that have come out about Brett. He's been hit in the head a lot and doesn't always make great decisions. All right. Where are we at? Okay. So we get the picture. Some people are happy in Minnesota. Some people are sad or irritated. I think unanimously people are pretty irritated with Brett from the Green Bay, from Wisconsin. But you got this guy on your team. You got number 4 on the team. And it started off a little slow, but the man could do things like this.
Two receivers left and right. Favre out of the shotgun. Chester to his right. Third down. 12 seconds to go in the game. Niners lead by 4. Favre back to pass. Pumps to the left. 8 seconds left. He gets away from the pressure. Fires to the end zone. It's caught! It's Greg Lewis!
I remember that so well.
Paul.
Isn't he the best?
Love him.
PA's the best.
Greg Lewis's first catch has given the Minnesota Vikings
miracle.
An improbable victory. No flags on the field. Brett Favre, Greg Lewis. How do you like that?
PA's the best.
That, I watched the play. That thing was a fucking laser.
A laser at the...
That man was 40 years old, and no one could throw it like that. Got about 15 feet off the ground. The run, just right in the only place where the Viking could catch it. There were Packers around. Just game over.
Yeah, it was San Fran.
Yep,
nope. Packer talk. Greg Lewis, I think... Didn't he come over from San Fran? Anyway, back of the end zone. I was at that game, too. And it was just electric. I didn't get to hear PA's call, but
now you have.
Now I have. It doesn't surprise
one of the happy ones.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Anyway, that
he's
was
good at the happy ones. He's good at the sad ones.
That's when you kind of here we go again. It's like I started getting the feeling like
Lucy.
It's magical. We were 3-0 at that point.
Uh huh.
And I'm like, all right. And Favre did not start out on fire. We I've got the stats here. We beat Cleveland 34-20 on the road. 27-13 against the Lions week two, and then the Niners 27-24. And that's when you kind of, Vikes fans are like, oh my gosh, this could happen. This is real again.
It just goes to show you, like, this man was motivated, and although he was 40 years old, the great ones often are petty. You know what I mean? Michael Jordan, his Hall of Fame speech just called people out right, left, and center.
Because he can.
I like to think that professional athletes, because it's their only job, and they only get to play, if they're lucky, in the NFL 10 years, that they would take every season as serious as they possibly could.
Yeah.
But it is my theory that he had this great season in purple and gold. He was inspired to play great football, if for nothing else, to fuck over Green Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, great player regardless, but then you've got that motivation. You know, I'm curious to see, again, going back to Aaron Rodgers this year, what he does for Pittsburgh. But
yeah, I am too.
You know, these guys are super talented. I couldn't even fathom having that kind of
arm
talent to be a professional athlete.
Intellect.
I think I'm okay there.
Yeah.
And then you have a motivator. The egos kick in. I've shared some off-air stories with you about some run-ins I've had with former pro athletes. They're still competitive. They're at a different level mentally, physically, and other. So
I think the mental part's big.
Yeah.
All right. So 2009, you're rolling with Brett Favre. You just heard it. He's playing well. What's going on in the rest of the league? How was the league shaped that year? Well, we can go through some awards and sort of remember who was good. There were some outstanding performances in 2009. Peyton Manning won the MVP. Chris Johnson, what do they call CJ2K? Why? He broke the 2,000-yard barrier in that year.
Lightning fast.
One of my favorite football players of all time, Charles Woodson. Incredible. Wow. He won Defensive Player of the Year for the Pack. Rookie of the Year, purple and gold, Percy. Percy Harvin.
Percy, pants on the
ground. We were talking about headaches earlier. Mm-hmm. I think he struggled. Those migraines. Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. Percy was so good, though. When he was on the field. He just wasn't on the field that much.
Exactly. And I'm sure you weren't here, but when they won, I think something, whether it was a playoff game or whatever, and there's a clip of all of them in the locker room, and Favre goes, I told Percy that if we won this game, I was going to sing Pants on the Ground. So they show him.
Oh, my God, Mike. Me and my friends used to make fair fun of Brett Favre because, like, Brett Favre's 40 and Percy was, like, a rookie then, so he must have been 21. And, like, him just bonding with this kid, essentially.
Yeah.
And then there's a clip of him saying, I told Percy I was going to do this. And we used to say that to each other. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Pants on the ground. And they show him singing Pants on the Ground.
Oh, God. Yeah. People loved him, though. I mean, his teammates liked him for the most part, I believe. Yeah. He was just, you know, he was just a dude.
He was a player's player. You know, he was just team all about, you know. So, no, it's unfortunate. It ended the way it did, but.
Yeah. It was magical there for a minute, though.
I
remember watching that game. We're going to get to it, the Saints game. All right. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Brian Cushing. Remember, he was on the Texans. He's a Trojan. Comeback Player of the World.
You mean as a condom?
He's a scumbag, if you want to put it that way. Just kidding. I'm kidding. I don't know Brian Cushing, but he did go to USC.
Brian, if you're listening, it's only because he went to UCLA.
Yeah.
Please forgive me.
It's not even really a rivalry when, like, one team's very good all the time. Or not so much anymore, but while I was there in the 2000s, the Pete Carroll era.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were the biggest thing in
town. Who's their coach now? Deshaun Foster?
Yeah. UCLA, yeah.
UCLA.
Yeah, former running back. Mm-hmm. Comeback player of the world, Mr. Tom Brady. You had that ACL.
For the third time?
why the third time?
No, I'm kidding. Because he, later in his career,
came back. Walter Payton Man of the Year, Brian Waters, don't know who that is. He's guard from Kansas City. Super Bowl MVP, Drew Brees, and then this is a funny one. Coach of the Year, Marv, never won a playoff game, Lewis.
Playoffs?
Yeah. So that's what's going on around the league. The Vikings in particular went 12-4. They started out 6-0. What do you remember? I mean, you're building confidence. 6-0 at that point.
Yeah.
Sky's the limit, no?
Absolutely. And I kept thinking, is this the year? Have you heard this before? Is this the year?
tell me again.
Shut up, Pee-wee. Is this the year? Is this the year? And I remember at one point, like later in the season, my wife looking at me going, I hope that they don't win this year because I want Brett Favre to come back. And I just looked at her like, are you kidding me right now?
What does that mean?
I have no idea. She was a big Brett Favre fan. She had a crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I think she thought if they won the Super Bowl, he would just retire. And she wanted him back the next year. It's like, I don't care if he comes back. I want a Super Bowl. That's all I want.
That's insane.
It is insane.
She's lucky she didn't get strung up in effigy.
She cursed the Vikings. It's her fault.
Yeah.
And
you divorced her.
Absolutely. I cursed her and said, I hope you have eternal.
I will give you half of my money to go away, essentially. Anyway, deeper dive on Brett. Hillbilly Benedict Arnold, as I've started calling him. He played all 16 games. That's no surprise. He threw for 4,202 yards. He had 33 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions. His passer rating was 107.2. That was a career high. This man went off.
Yeah, he did.
And go ahead.
We had Percy. We had AP.
I got the leaders here.
In the backfield.
AP had a great season.
Yeah.
1383. When did he blow out his knee?
I'm going to say 2011 because he came back and had 2,000 yards.
He was like the first guy to come back from ACL and just dominate the way he did pre-ACL. That wasn't very common back then.
I know
guys come back, like you hear about Diggs looking pretty good. He just blew, and he's 30-something.
Yeah.
You know, guys didn't – the medicine's just gotten better. The information's gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
The rehab, I'm sure, has gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
Snapshot of the Vikings from 2009, we already talked about Brett and his 4,200 yards. We talked about AP and his 1,383. Let's talk about Sidney Rice. He had 13-12. I don't remember Sidney. Now, you know, I do remember his hairstyle.
Yeah.
And I remember him being pretty good. I don't remember him being a wide receiver one. Was that – that's a good number, 1,300 yards.
It is.
What was the deal with Sidney Rice here in Minnesota?
And I'm trying to think if Bernard Berrien was on the team at that time. I mean, anyway, yeah, I think he was kind of a safety blanket for, you know, you have Percy on one side, Rice on the other. Tall, lanky, stretch the field kind of receiver.
Yes.
And Favre, they all three of them, you know, the Percy, Sidney Rice, and Favre, they just had a good connection.
They had a thing going.
They had a thing.
On the other side of the ball, Chad Greenway had 80 tackles to lead the team. Jared Allen, who I'd like to hang out with Jared Allen.
Jared Allen's a cool guy.
14 and a half sacks.
Who else can rock jorts?
And Kevin Smith, the guy who made Mallrats. And then Cedric Griffin had 4 picks.
Wow, I forgot that guy.
There's a snapshot of the season.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and win the division, earn yourself a bye, and then you have the divisional round versus the Cowboys. And this was a proper beatdown. Do you remember the game where you were? The score was 34-3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what were you up to?
I was at home. I just purchased a home in Rogers, Minnesota. And
oh, good for you.
Sorry. I don't know why.
Well, thank you.
Sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, watching it at home. And we're a shocker, but huge Vikings household. All of my children are huge Vikings fans. Kelly is a huge Vikings fan. Watched it at home.
Enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it thoroughly.
Brett went 15-24. He had 234, 4 TDs, 0 interceptions. Passer rating 134.4.
Sick.
Tony Romo, not so good.
Mm.
22-35, 198, and a pick. It was domination. Lucy has the ball set up for you to kick it. And then what happened?
Well, you know what I envisioned when you just said
hold
that?
On a sorry. I got to mention this because he did so well. The aforementioned Sidney Rice, 6 receptions, 141 yards, 3 TDs.
Three TDs.
That's a nice game.
Very Moss-like.
Yeah.
when you mentioned Lucy, you know, I just envision her with the football and like spinning it like on her finger, like a basketball, like
with her
I'm getting ready. Yeah. I'm getting ready for you.
So it's on to New Orleans.
Yeah. Painful.
Great game. I remember it. I remember the big play at the end. What are your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts were, once again, self-inflicted wound after self-inflicted wound. Peterson fumbled two or three times, and I think he lost not all, but most of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't find that. He had a great game otherwise.
He did.
25 for 122, three rushing TDs.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning Berrien. He had a great game as well. Nine catches, 102.
Yeah. And Favre, didn't he throw, well, at least
yeah, you were right. Sorry, I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah, they had five turnovers. Three fumbles.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I loved AP. I loved how tough, and he ran with.
Hold on, though. It says fumbles lost, zero.
I could have swore we lost.
I've caught T being wrong before.
Yeah.
What was it? It was last week I caught this one. I asked for rushing leaders in 2000. That's what we did last week, right?
Yeah.
And it just totally omitted Robert Smith.
Okay.
From the list. So maybe
might not
maybe
be
this
completely accurate.
Yeah.
I just remember us driving, and AP, you got to commend him for just running with violence, right? But those extra yards just go down, dude, because that's without fail.
That's where you get hurt.
That's when he would fumble.
Fumble, yeah.
And
I always thought that was, I think it's a for star players, my theory is, and shout out David Morgan, I've shared this with him, I don't understand the fight for the extra couple yards thing. If it's for a first down, maybe. But only bad things happen when you're stood up like that. Because the other guys, they know they're just peanut punching. And,
yep.
And then a lot of injuries happen. And like, what are we fighting for? Right. Inconsequential yards. There's no shame in running out of bounds.
Absolutely.
I know you can take a hit. I know you're a man. This is just about being smart. It drives me nuts when these guys do it. But
I
do understand the other side of the story, which the argument for that would be like, you know, we're a tough football team. We're a physical football team. We fight for extra yards. Maybe you'll break a tackle. Whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
If you recall, and I don't remember the score at halftime, but we were kicking the crap out of the Saints, with the exception of the self-inflicted wounds.
Mm-hmm. Moving the ball.
Moving the ball. Holding them to minimal yardage in the first half. But, of course, being a scarred Vikings fan, I remember sitting there on the couch going, wow, this just does not feel like we're not putting our foot on the proverbial throat and putting these guys out of reach, because we kept shooting ourselves in the foot. The theme is consistent. Big game, big stage.
Big mistake.
Big mistakes.
Yep. Brett went 28 for 46. He had 310 passing yards. He did have a touchdown. He did throw two picks. But that passer rating was down there at 70.
Oh, man. Yeah. And he conversely, got the crap beat out of him.
Breeze went 17 for 31, three TDs, no picks, 197 yards, 106 passer rating.
Yeah, other than the TDs, 197 yards, nondescript, right? I mean,
efficient. Percentage, 17 for 31 is not great. Look, he did what he had to do. I mean, the big one is zero INTs is probably the best thing there.
Yep, absolutely. Couple things.
Please.
We're into, you know, getting into the second half, and I don't know if we're going to talk about this or not. Childress, I blame this on Childress. Again, another self-inflicted wound.
Yeah.
12 men in the huddle. We were driving again. We could have put the game out of reach. 12 men in the huddle, 5 yards. This is one of the last drives, right, before.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
That was Alec Baldwin. Sorry, that one went out to Chili.
Yeah, I mean, that. Unbelievable. Yeah. I'm just.
I don't think KOC makes these mistakes.
No. And, you know, so that happened. Bounty Gate, we're going to talk about that in a second. Brett Favre got the crap beat out of him, and he still stood in there. They showed his ankle on the sideline. It looked like a watermelon, multicolored, swollen. But is he without fault? No. There was one play where he could have easily ran for a first down, and he did not. And
threw it across his body?
Correct.
That pick?
Yep.
And I just remember thinking to myself, and I think the same thing, That is so apropos of Brett Favre's
Absolutely.
Career.
That's what you get when you get a guy like Brett Favre, right?
It's gunslinger.
Gunslinger mentality. You take the good with the bad.
He throws that pass on a dime to that whoever it was during the Niners game. He can make that play. But he's going to try those plays often, and they're not always going to work.
Right.
And this one hurt you bad.
Yeah.
Because I think – Remind me, it was at the end of the game, all they needed was a field goal. I mean, you guys would have missed the field goal anyway, so it's kind of a moot point. But
true. But yeah, that would have put the game out of reach.
Yeah.
And he could have run for the first down.
Yeah,
five. He had a lot of green in front of him.
Five turnovers will do that to you. It's hard to win a ball game when you give
Correct.
The other team five extra possessions and you haven't scored.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the game was won with a 40-yard field goal in overtime.
Yep.
And the Saints went on to win their one and only. I'm happy for New Orleans, one of my favorite cities. I haven't been there a ton, but that city has something called heart. And they, I don't know, I'm happy for New Orleans. We're about to talk about this, man. I don't care for Sean Payton too much. I don't really think one way or another. I know you don't like him.
I do not like him.
And I definitely don't like Greg Williams. And it wasn't just Bounty Date. The guy's a blowhard.
Right.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him. I think it was the Buffalo Hard Knocks. And I just, who's this? You know the type. The football coach, the blowhard. You know,
that old
like,
school.
Yeah, you're telling these elite athletes to do things you couldn't do.
Right.
Like, I know that's his job, but
no.
Just such a blowhard. All right, shall we get to Bounty Gate, the other interesting thing? We're at about an hour. I think we can wrap this up in 10 minutes.
Can I say
so.
Something very quickly?
Absolutely.
I had a buddy tell me shortly after that game that he thought Brett Favre tanked the game intentionally because he's once a Packer, always a Packer. And I'm like,
That's
I looked
insane.
At him, I'm like, you are an idiot.
Yeah. Who's that man?
He's a buddy.
Shout him out.
I'm not going to give him, I'm not going to mention his name. I haven't talked to him in a while. But and then some other conspiracy theories, because if you remember in OT, maybe you don't, Ben Lieber, who is now the sideline analyst for the Vikes, was called for this erroneous pass interference that put them in range for a field goal. He wasn't anywhere near that receiver. I mean, you could look it up on YouTube now. Nowhere near, but they called him. Ben Lieber is a linebacker. So then the theory was, or the conspiracy theory was, well, because of Hurricane Katrina, let's give New Orleans something.
We always do this. We always try to explain things.
Yeah.
Okay, was it that? Was it Brett? Brett is a traitor. He is Benedict Hillbilly Benedict Arnold, but I don't think he took it that far.
No.
And
No.
He makes those plays all the time. So what makes the Rockdom's razor, right? The simplest explanation oftentimes is the correct one. And in this case, it was just Brett being Brett. I know people want to explain things away, but all right. So I haven't even read this. We're going to go through it together, this Bounty Gate. I did find I think it was a Peter King article, excuse me, where they do kind of like we did with the Hirschwalker, like a timeline, oral history kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So March 2nd, 2012, after an investigation that began in 2010, NFL released a statement, indicating that between 22 and 27 players and coaches have been enjoying a bounty system in which cash rewards were getting being doled out for knocking opposing opponents out of the game. They call it getting carded. That's dark. If you're not following that at home, being carded, it refers to being carted off the field.
Does it talk about the money?
We're going to go through it together.
Okay.
These
are multi-million-dollar athletes, and for $100, I'm going to take somebody's knee.
Yeah,
in,
March 6, 2012, your buddy Sean Payton and general manager Mickey Loomis issued a joint statement in which they, quote, take full responsibility for allowing the program to exist and thrive under their watch. March 2009, Saints quarterback Drew Brees issues a statement denying any knowledge of the bounty system. You buying that?
Nope.
March 21, NFL suspends Greg Williams indefinitely. Payton for an entire season and Loomis for the first eight games, along with, I think, a defensive Joe Vitt. I think he was a defensive coach. Doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Additionally, they were fined $500,000.
Righteous bucks.
Thank you, Spicoli. And they lost 2 second-round draft picks, which hurts. You know, that's pretty good draft capital.
Two what?
Second-rounders. 2012 and 2013. Mm. All right. March 30th, Peyton, Vitt, and Loomis all appealed their suspensions. April 5th, documentary filmmaker Sean Pamphlin released damning audio tape of Williams instructing his players to target Frank Gore and Kyle Williams's head, Michael Crabtree's ACL, and Vernon Davis's ankles. If only, wow. If only we had that tape. Well, guess what? This is Misery Love Company. Let's have a little fun here.
We don't fucking apologize for how we're going to play. You're here for a reason. We've got a lot of guys up at the top. Kill the hit, the body will die. Kill the hit, the body will die. We've got to do everything in the world to make sure we kill Frank Gore's head.
Kill the head, the body will die.
We want him running sideways. We want his head sideways. Little 32. We want to knock the fuck out of him. He has no idea what he's in for. When he's on the sideline, we got to turn that motherfucker over, turn the coaches over, turn the spectators over, go get that motherfucker on the sideline.
Is that Greg Williams?
Yep.
It's a great game.
This is the actual audio that I just spoke of.
Glass act.
Smith, right there. Remember me.
Alex Smith.
I got the first one. So lay that motherfucker out. We're going to dominate the line of scrimmage, and we're going to kill the fucking head. Every single one of you, before you get off the pile, affect the head. Early, affect the head. Continue, touch and hit the head. They're going to come in. They're going to be shocked with our contact. They're going to be shocked with our speed. They're going to be shocked with our strip. If you kick field goals, be the best defense in that stadium. Remember the walkaways. And remember, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, go get on that bus, right back to that airport, and get ready for the next one. Respect comes from fear. This is how you get respect in this league. We need to find out in the first
by being dirty.
Series of the game, the little wide receiver, number 10, about his concussion. We need to fucking put away.
Talking about people's concussions.
He needs to decide. We need to fucking decide.
Who recorded this?
Whether Crabtree wants to be a fake ass prima donna or he wants to be a tough guy. We need to find that out. When he becomes human, we need to fucking take out that outside ACL. We need to decide.
I couldn't chop up the clip. I had to let it play because there's just too much damning evidence on this tape.
How many times we
is he out of the league still?
I believe so.
Put Vernon Davis's ankles over the pile. We need to decide.
Wow.
When they are fearing us, they give us the ball.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Roger Goodell turned down Peyton, Vitt, and Loomis's appeals. I don't even know if Greg Williams appealed with that.
How could you?
Coming to light. That was April 9th when they denied Peyton and them's appeal. May 2nd, 2012, Goodell suspended Jonathan Vilma for the entire 2012 season. Will Smith, not the Fresh Prince, but the other Will Smith, defensive lineman.
I remember
lineman.
Will Smith. Yeah.
Four games, and then safety Anthony Hargrove and Scott Fujita, 8 games and 3 games, respectively. May 4th, 2012, the NFLPA filed a grievance under the NFL claiming that Goodell had no authority to punish players since all aspects of the case occurred before the new CBA was signed. I guess there was some article in there that said that he didn't have that power then, but he did in the current moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, it does.
Anyway,
and that's why attorneys get the big bucks. They find these.
Vilma appealed his suspension, and Fujita, Smith, and Hargrove all filed paperwork to reserve the right to appeal their suspensions after a grievance filed by the NFLPA on their behalf is heard. Vilma on May 17th sued Goodell for defamation. From what I read, just a little insight here. I think they chose Vilma and the other fellas because they were captains. That's it. Mm. So let's keep going. It becomes relevant at the end. The NFL revealed that it had a hard copy of the Saints' ledger. Don't ever leave a paper trail, Greg, that detailed payments for...
Clearly haven't watched mafia
for
movies.
Quote, unquote. Yeah. Never leave a paper
trail. Never leave a paper trail.
For, quote, card-offs and, quote, whacks. I don't know what a whack was. But I think I
can imagine.
I could make a, yeah, yeah. I can make a pretty educated guess here. June 4th, this thing's like, you know, they say don't make a federal case out of this. This was this went to the federal court. In June 4th, 2012, an arbitrator between the NFLPA and the NFL judged in Goodell's favor, ruling he had the authority to punish these players. July 3rd, Goodell upheld suspensions, rejecting players' appeals. July 26th, Vilma and seven witnesses from the Saints testified in front of a federal judge in New Orleans that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell got his facts wrong in the bounty scandal. Cut to September 7th, an appeals panel vacated Goodell's suspensions on all four Saints players, allowing all of them to play in 2012 and putting the ball back in Goodell's court to either alter or affirm them. October 9th, Goodell altered the suspensions of Fujita from 3 games to 1, Hargrove from 8 to 7, and it upheld the 4-game suspensions of Smith and the season-long of Vilma. October 12th, all four players filed an appeal. Vilma asked Goodell to recuse himself from any further involvement in the case against him. Goodell did honor Vilma's request, and they got good old Paul Tagliabue to jump in. And Tagliabue, on November 30th, held the suspension hearings for the players. He listened to testimony from Greg Williams with Vilma and Smith in attendance. And then December 11th, Tagliabue vacated the suspension, so that's why all the players got to play. And there's a quote from him here. Unlike Saints' broad organizational misconduct, several players involved sharply focused issues of alleged individual player misconduct in several different aspects. My affirmation of Commissioner Goodell's findings could certainly justify the issuance of fines. However, this entire case has been contaminated by the coaches and others in the Saints organization. So sounds like he didn't know for sure, so he just let him off the hook a bit.
Mm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's it, man.
That's it. Yeah. Well, once again, and obviously you remember the abuse that Favre took during that game. I don't know if the outcome would have been any different, but it certainly didn't help the Purple's cause.
Yeah. I mean, well, there was 10K on Brett's head, it says here. And that was reportedly offered by Vilma himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vilma.
They said they this is politics. This is what Williams said. He said it was a pay for performance. Well, here's the problem, Greg. Let's just say you're not, evil and you didn't want people to get hurt. You can't just pay people bonuses off contract. There's a salary cap, you dickhead. So
yeah.
That's also against, you know, the policies of the NFL.
Mm. Yep. No. Well, there you have it. Bountygate at its finest.
And that is 2009. What a season. Memorable, to be sure. Yeah, but depressing. Ended with an interception. And in this case, the bad guys won.
Yes, very much so.
They won it all. But, you know, they kind of got their due. I don't know. Williams, I don't know where he's at, but... anyway, ugly, a fun season, but more of the same.
Yep.
I don't know. Should we go to Cuddy's Corner?
Let's
feel like
do
we've
it.
Really,
I am
you're
just
ready
deflated
to get the fuck
right
out
now.
Of here.
I'm deflated.
You fucking asshole. Yeah, I got a song. The pickings were slim in 2009. We kind of went over the top 10 list. I got a song by a band called Strung Out, and I chose Strung Out because they're a melodic punk band who has managed to, I mean, I remember listening to them in high school, so that's late 90s. And they just put out a record a year ago, and it was really good. So it's just excellent workout music. So if you need stuff to work out to and you want some melodic fast punk, check this out, and maybe you'll have a new band to work out to. That's going to do it for us, Michael.
Yeah, until next week.
What are we doing?
We're
having a guest.
We have a guest. Mr. Chris Hickel will be joining us. We're going to talk about the 2017 season, which, again, roller coaster ride at its finest. If you remember, that was the year of the Minneapolis Miracle.
Oh, I'm going to learn all about it.
Yep. And so Chris is kind enough to join us, and looking forward to that.
All right. So I'll leave you with this track from strung out from 2009. This one's called Car Crash Radio. Enjoy it. Maybe do some push-ups. We got all those